God, on this final Sunday of Advent, we come before you with a host of cares and concerns that we hold in our midst. We bring our full selves before you as we worship. We spread out our lives together and ask that you come, Lord Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the meditations in each of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. According to Andy Williams, this is the most wonderful time of the year. You know the song, sing with me. It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you'll be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. Yeah, we could definitely host marshmallows for roasting, exactly. And caroling out in the snow. And much mistletoeing, don't forget that either. It's a fun, jubilant Christmas classic. Apparently one of the top 10 Christmas songs of all time. It's been recorded by almost every major recording artist on their Christmas album, too. I actually love this song and love singing it. It's so much fun to sing. Except when it doesn't feel like Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. Except when singing about happiness is not enough. Except when it doesn't tell the fullness of the truth or half of all that this season holds. Sometimes the emphasis on the rosiness and cheer of the season can leave my heart aching for songs that can hold more. And apparently I'm not the only one. Did you know that psychologists have been studying how Christmas songs like that one can make us depressed? Perhaps you've seen one of the articles circulating around about this. But today we're giving our attention to a different song. These last weeks we've been listening to the songs in Luke's gospel that tell the Christmas story, the lullabies of the resistance. And today, we're listening to Simeon's song, which Anna read for us so beautifully in Spanish, and Michael just sang so beautifully. This moment is the conclusion to the Christmas story in Luke's gospel, when Jesus' parents bring him into the temple for the very first time. Simeon, presumably an older man on whom the Holy Spirit rests, had been told that he would not see death before he had seen the Messiah. So Luke tells about this beautiful moment where Simeon, guided by the Spirit to the temple, where he meets Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. He takes Jesus up into his arms and sings a song of blessing. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. The song starts with rejoicing and celebration and blessing. No doubt those things are there. Mine eyes have seen your salvation. But even in these first moments, we sense that an ending is near, too, as Simeon's days are drawing to a close. As Jesus' father and mother are amazed by his words, Simeon blesses them and says this to Mary: "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner heart thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. That's the closing of his song, the words that he offers to Mary. If the song wasn't already pregnant with emotion, it certainly is now. The synchronous moment where Simeon has been guided by the Spirit takes a difficult turn, and Simeon's lullaby now holds joy, blessing, death, grief, warning, despair, justice, hope, and probably a whole lot more. Luke, the gospel writer, is obviously using this story with Simeon to foreshadow what is to come. After all, the gospel is written sometime after 70 AD when the temple has been destroyed. He's trying to explain the end of the story by being clear about how Jesus comes and who Jesus is. The beautiful song Anita sang this morning comes from a similar vantage point and holds the same complexity and tension, present to what is and knowing what is to come, a cradle in the shadow of a cross. This Advent, as a community, we have been holding life and death, joy and sorrow, hope and disappointment, celebration and loneliness, peace and stress, love and loss. Here's a little sample of what we're carrying. Bill Fahey died on Thanksgiving Day, just before the start of Advent. He was a member here for 76 years. This week, we lost another beloved member for more than 30 years, as our brother Harold Ritchie died on Wednesday evening. He was also a co-worker here for more than a decade. Between the two of them, they had more than 100 years here at Calvary. Kathy Lansing lost her mother. Carol and Rick are grieving with a friend who lost their daughter. We've had new births, new jobs, new homes, the success of a semester, and travel to homelands. We've also had broken ankles, the flu, financial challenges, and separation from family and loved ones. We have parents and loved ones we lost in years past who we remember and grieve this season still. My point isn't to depress you or bring you down from a Christmas high. My point is that we might bring the fullness of ourselves into this community, and that we might open ourselves to what the beloved ones sitting next to us are bringing with them too. There's room for all that we bring and more. It's already right there in the Christmas story, right there in Simeon's song. Let me share a brief story of why we might want to do this together. Why we might bring our full selves and not try to crowd out the more difficult emotions that we carry with us this season. As you know, Bill Fahey died on Thanksgiving Day. The first Sunday of Advent was also the day of Bill's memorial service, and a profound and important remembrance and celebration of his life. Long ago, we had also planned to gather that same evening for carols at Carol's. As we got in the car to travel to their home, I was feeling the loss of Bill, along with tiredness from an overflowing day and week. I knew that others of you were holding profound grief for a host of other reasons. And that's just the start of what we were carrying as we gathered in the hogar, the hearth and home of Carol and Rick. In truth, I wasn't sure if I had the strength or the heart to sing that night, to carol. As we gathered, we named our cares and concerns aloud, and we lit candles to hold each of them in our midst. And then, as planned and promised, we began to sing together in English and Spanish. Noche de paz, noche de amor. As we sang, I could sense my own spirit starting to open. But in truth, I had no idea what was to come. We gathered around the piano singing. This is the participation part again. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. The next thing I know, Carol said, let's do the 12 days of Christmas. We pleaded with her foolishly for a moment. No, it's too long, Carol. That's so silly. Let's do something else. Thankfully, Carol persisted. And let's just say this was one of the many highlights of the evening. Claudia says I'm not going to be the director of music anytime soon, by the way. The Spirit was alive and well in our midst. The more we sang together, the more our souls expanded. Engrandece mi alma. The more we were being ushered towards hope, peace, joy, and love together. As we've made our way this Advent, I'm realizing just how important it is for us to journey together. As it can feel daunting or downright impossible to find our way to hope, peace, joy, and love on our own. When we show up in the fullness of ourselves and share our cares and concerns with one another and help carry the load with each other for a while, we can experience deep and abiding hope, peace, love, and yes, even joy together. As we've sung these lullabies of the resistance from Luke's gospel, I've been pondering all that these songs hold together. They're not just rosy lullabies. They're pregnant with expectation, with emotion, with ancient and timeless prophecies and promises about God's reign of peace. Beloved ones, Jesus comes not as a superhero immune to suffering and pain, but as a baby, vulnerable, in need of care, as one who knows the fullness of what it means to be human. Let us keep singing together, side by side. Let us be guided by the Spirit that seeks to take down walls that would keep us walled off or walled apart. Let us love with our whole beings this day, knowing that it will hurt, but that it will be our salvation too. Come, Lord Jesus, with healing in thy wings.